My mother always taught us to check up on
our radio.
Here we go. We're going to talk about mental health. There's my little intro coming in on top. Girl, up the wall.
Common now
that we've been in the house and we can't touch anyone and we can't go anywhere and the mental anguish is high among children and among adults. What have we lost that people are now saying, you know what, check please, I'm out, check please, where's my check, just give it to me right now. Help
well,
us.
I'd like to speak to that. So I think what's happening is the Western world has become more egocentric. In other words, the mind is now in charge of everything. And the heart is like forbidden to speak.
Wow.
And, you know, it's not like that, like in other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. Like in the Middle East, for example, men and women openly grieve in the street. When mm-hmm. somebody dies, you will watch the news and you'll see people crying
yeah.
openly. Mm-hmm. But in the West, in America specifically, you're not allowed to cry. You're
right.
It's considered a bad thing. It's mm-hmm. considered bad form. And I think that we need, like the, you know, the Dalai Lama said about 15 years ago, he said, you know, love is a radical act. And I would say that not only that, but to speak from your heart is really forbidden now, because with all the preeminence of technology and intellectual thinking and facts, that's what we have to work with. And what I do is I work with people to integrate their heart and their soul and their spirit, and then we use a little bit of intellect to figure out what they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we have to expand the heart's voice.
Wow. I like that. And how do we expand the heart's voice? How do we do that?
Well, the way I work with it is when people are in crisis, I listen to them and weep with them. I mean, I say to people, it's fine to cry.
Uh-huh.
I welcome your tears. We have to start saying that to each other. We have to invite people to weep.
Right.
And I say to people, please weep. I hear your grief. Let it out. Let it flow. And then when the people grieve, and if they're listened to deeply, they feel better. So that's step one. It's not the whole thing, but it's the first step.
You know, it's funny you say that, because we teach our boys, and I think that's why men are confused about their emotions. We teach them at a young age, don't you cry, be a man. And I've always said, he's not a man, he's a boy. He needs to cry. He needs to have that emotion, because then they grow up with not knowing how to channel when they need to cry, not knowing how to channel when they're angry. Stop being so angry. Be a man. It's like he's three. He doesn't know how to be a man yet. He's three. Let him be a boy, a child, a toddler, a junior, you know, then an adult. Let him have his stages. But we teach our children at a young age to hold their emotions in. So when they get older, they don't know what to do. And you're right. They don't know how to cry. They have no idea how to cry. And there's something foreign when we see a father holding and kissing his son. We say, oh, my gosh, something must be going on. We've missing that part. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to love his son. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, women are going along with this.
Yeah.
And I think that's a mistake. A lot of women don't cry either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that the culture is just not supporting people to share from their heart.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, the heart moves more slowly than the mind. The mind is very fast.
Right. Yeah.
But the heart is really slow. You know, the heart goes really slow. And so you might be deep in that was difficult or hard on me. So I think we have to stop going so fast. I think part of it is slowing down and being willing to go within. Somebody told me, I was kind of depressed about a year ago. You know, 2020 was a terrible year.
Wow.
And I went to see a healer, and she said, you know, happiness is an inside job. And I thought about that. At first, I didn't like that, but I thought, you know, it's kind of mad at her. But then I said, I think she's right about that. And the thing is, if you can go down, slow down, and then go down into your deep heart, you know, to get to your soul, it takes time. You have to go deep down. So you have to set aside time and be in a private place. And then you can figure out, what is it that your soul is yearning for?
Mm.
And if you're sad, your soul is yearning for something.
Yeah. You know, we talk about our soul, and we, right about now in this country, with over 500,000 deaths, I mean, and I personally have friends, families that have died from COVID or complications of. And I personally know of someone that in the past 2 weeks have had 7 members die in their family. Not distant cousins that they see at family reunions. I'm talking mama, grandmama, nephew, niece, nephew again, I think uncle. We are dealing with a sadness that we've never dealt with before. And now, because in my family, we're huggers. We hold hands, we kiss, we hug, we support each other, we love, we're always leaning on each other, and now we can't do that. So we're missing that personal love contact. So with all this death going on right now, like she said, Vicki, I'm afraid to answer my phone, I'm afraid to read a text, I'm afraid to email. She said, I have literally just shut everything off. Well, you can't do that either. Because now you're not dealing with it. So where is the balance? We're going to get the death notices because, you know, we enter the world. We all know we're going to exit. Those are two things that are promised to us. We're going to enter and exit, okay? But how do we deal with those that are exiting before us, especially at, I mean, every day, every week? How do we deal with that?
Well, I think we should start doing ceremonies together, where we honor the people that have died, and we sit, we go, you know, we could even do it on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
We could get together on Zoom, and I do this all the time as a chaplain for hospice.
Mm-hmm.
I would gather people and say to them, what did this person give you? What did you give them?
Mm.
What are you grateful for? What do you want to ask forgiveness for? What do you want to give forgiveness for?
I like that.
And what would you like to say? Even after they died, we can do these ceremonies. We could do this together.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very healing to do something like this.
I like that, a gathering, because that's what we're missing. You know, a lot of families now have Zoom calls, family time, and, you know, I do it with my nephew so that he can stay in contact, and my sisters and I, we do it, and now we're celebrating birthdays. And, you know, I can't imagine the joy it's going to be when we can finally get together, one mask or two masks or no mask, whatever the mandate will be at that time. We're all looking forward to it, but I just want to talk a little bit more about the death notices because I have a lot of questions dealing with death. So when you said your hospice chaplain, are you still doing that, Ms. Craven?
No, okay. I'm not. Now I'm a coach.
Okay.
I'm a transition coach, but I did that for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was both a hospital and hospice chaplain. chaplain.
Wow.
So I did a lot of end-of-life ceremony around the bedside when the person was still alive.
Wow.
And I found out that when you honor the person who's leaving, it's a much better ending for everyone. And you can do that after they've left, or you can do that before they've left. It does, the time doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you really need to honor them.
Mm-hmm. I like that because that's something that we did together back in the day. We would come together and see them and fellowship with them, and we can't do that now. You're not even allowed in the nursing home, in the hospital, in the hospice, and nowhere. You know, you can only, you're allowed in your yard and in your house. So that's another form of guilt, which leads to my next question. How do we deal with the guilt of someone dying and not being able to say you're sorry, or someone dying and not being able to say goodbye, or someone dying, like one lady said, my grandmother passed away, who was my mom, and she died alone. She died alone at night, and nobody was there to hold her hand or to make sure she's okay. She said it was my responsibility to be there with her. You know, I always promised her I wouldn't let her die alone. How do we deal with this guilt?
Well, there's two things I think we can do. One is to do a little ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do it one just yourself.
Yeah.
You could just light a candle, put on some sacred music, and invite God and the Holy Spirit to come and bless the person who died.
Okay.
And you just do that much. Just say, dear Holy Spirit, please shepherd this person into the light and bless them. And the second thing you can do is forgiveness. And by the way, I have a whole forgiveness program, and
you
I have a free forgiveness PDF thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little ebook. It's beautiful. And it talks about, you know, how difficult it is to forgive. I've spent probably 30 years of my life trying to forgive my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone through this. But anyway, I think the second step is to forgive yourself and forgive the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving God, really, and forgive the person who passed.
Okay.
And if you can, there's a short prayer. It's a there's a 40-day prayer where if you do it every day for like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, at the end of 40 days, you will have released that issue.
Okay.
And I did that. I did that with my parents. And it changed everything.
Wow. And see, that's another thing. I don't think we know how to forgive ourselves. We've never been taught how to forgive ourselves. We've been taught to carry the guilt, to carry the burden, to carry the anger, to carry the stress. We don't know how to release it. And let me tell you how freeing it is to release something. It really does feel like an elephant off your shoulders, and you sleep better. Your skin gets better. Your mind gets better. Your husband will come home because you're not so angry now. The children will want to play with you. Even the dog will come around because he's not sensing that anger in you. Right, Anastasia, we do need to have an end of life, and we're getting all these great comments. Keep the comments coming. I love it. But, yeah, once you release that, even the cat can sense that something is different about you because you've released it. Let's talk about releasing the anger and the guilt and trying to free ourselves and giving you permission to free yourself.
Well, I have in my book, Grief to Gratitude, it covers the process that I use to do it. It's got about 5 or 6 parts.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is to light a candle. Another part is to, when you light the candle, say, I light this candle to release this, and use whatever it is, release my Lord is you say a prayer to God to take the anger from you. And then another part is that you cry. You have to add your tears, or it's just a mental process. Not engage your heart.
Yeah.
And so if you bring your tears with an authentic prayer and request, then what happens is the Holy Spirit will take it from you and bring you wisdom. And you want to ask for the wisdom. So, for example, one of the people I met as a hospice chaplain, his wife of 30 years died, and he said, I had to lose the love of my life to find my soulmate.
Mm.
Now, this is often the case.
Wow. But let's talk about crying, because I don't think people understand they have the right to cry. My husband will tell you, I will tell him, look, I'm going to walk out back. I just need to cry for a minute and get this out my, you know. And I tell my girlfriends, they'll call and they'll say, Vicky, don't pick up the phone. I know what that means. I've given them permission to scream in the phone or call me and yell. And I tell them, put your face in the pillow if you can't go outside around the kids and get it out. If you let that thing stay on your heart, stress will have you falling out like you're having a heart attack. You can't let that thing stay on your heart. You've got to release it. So crying is a great way, you know, and take the tissue and you know, just tell, if you need to scream, God, what is going on? He'll hear, you know, he'll hear you. Or, you know, one day I just went out back and it was like, okay, I'm just going to cry. But then I ended up like, you know what? I started pulling the weeds and crying, and my neighbor said, oh, flowers die, they'll come back, it's okay. And it's like, that's not why I'm crying, you know. But it's good to, you know, I know my flowers are dead. It's wintertime, but it's good to get it out. And I was telling her, I said, she said, you know, I'm so stressed out. I said, well, do you scream in a pillow? She was like, no, that's crazy. And I said, it is not. What's crazy is you're holding it in. That's why you can't eat. That's why you can't sleep. That's why you're jittery. That's why you're agitated. I said, next time, just scream in your pillow or cry in your pillow. You've got a beautiful backyard. Just go back there, pull the dead flowers, and cry. I said, what do you think I was doing? You know, she's doing it, and she feels better. I told her you would. Cry. Ladies, gentlemen, it is. We're talking about mental health today because you've got to get it out of your system. Believe me when I tell you, it affects your entire being, from your head, spiritually, emotionally, financially, mentally, physically. It affects you. You think it doesn't, but people can see a difference in you when you're stressed. Even the children, I'm telling you, the cat and dog know when you're stressed. You're not fooling nobody. Okay?
Well, I want to say one thing, too. I discovered recently that when fear or sorrow are not expressed, you can become quite angry.
Yeah.
And under anger is fear or sorrow. And it's better to get the fear and the sorrow out before you get angry. And that's something we should become educated about, because, you know, when people get angry, that's bad.
Yeah.
That can be, I mean, it's good to express it, but on the other hand, you don't want to get in trouble with it. And so I think that as a culture, we have to do some better emotional education.
Yeah. And what do you say about that? I see people that have been angry for years. I mean, they're still mad about stuff that happened in the 60s and 70s, they're mad about things they can't even control. I know families that have parted ways because somebody stole the grandmama's potato salad recipe and now nobody talks. And I asked them, I said, do you guys even know why you don't talk to each other? Well, my mama said that we don't talk to them. But why? Well, it happened when grandmama did something. So you guys are divided as a family, or you're still mad as a family over something that happened 30 years ago that has nothing to do with you? So how can they even fix that? I tell people have a conversation. If you're afraid to be in person, Zoom. We're all Zooming now. You know, and that way when you're mad, just hang up. But you have to find out why you're mad, right?
Well, I don't think you need to necessarily know why. I think that's an ego thing.
Okay.
You just have to, you know, say, oh, I'm angry. What am I either sad about or afraid of?
Okay. Oh, okay.
And that's, you have to go deep. I think it's better to go deep than to go into the analysis, the mental analysis.
I like that. So underline you're either sad or afraid about something.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what I found myself because I've been dealing with this.
Wow. I love when I learn stuff, and I love when I have the opportunity to ask the questions that people are really afraid to ask. And if they're afraid to ask, to my opinion, one, you don't want to know the answer to it, or two, you're just so embarrassed because you've been dealing with this so long, you don't know how to fix it. And that's what someone just said. Vicki, my brother has been angry for years. We don't know why he's angry. He doesn't know why he's angry. And we're trying to get him to process. And I think he needs to cry. How do we get him to cry?
Wow. Well, I'd be happy to talk to this person.
Okay.
Tell him to call me.
Okay.
It's kind of a long answer, but basically what I do is I create a little cocoon with an atmosphere, and the atmosphere is one of depth and soul. And you can't, you know, if you meet somebody at the mental level, you're never going to get them to cry.
Okay.
You have to go down to your heart and get them to come down to their heart with you. So that's the way to do it. You cannot reason with somebody and reason them into their reason will never get you to sorrow.
Wow.
You have to just kind of show up in a very deep, hard space. And I have a method for creating that deep heart space. And part of it is I found out that when there's the atmosphere of prayer, people often go into their heart space.
Yeah.
But the big problem with the church is then once people are in their heart space, there's no room for the emotions, like the grieving and the fear. You know? I put all that together, the prayer, the grief, the sorrow, the fear, and when you pull it together and give and just ask open-ended questions like, what is that like? And why, you know, what would you like? What would you like relief from?
Wow.
And where do you want to go with this? And that then opens up the dialogue at the heart level.
Okay. I like that. We you know, I talk about the church because I grew up in church. We were in church almost every day. If there were cots in the back, I'm pretty sure my mom would have had to spend the night. But there weren't, thank God. But I talk about God in church because that's all I know. But I also know that God gives us people in our lives. And the church, which used to be the cornerstone of the community and the backbone of the community, is now a business. I mean, I'm sorry, everybody. It is what it is. You know, there's nothing wrong with owning banks and all of those things. Let me push pause real quick. All of those on Talk Blog, thank you so much. You're tuning in to IITG Season Sister Speak. Today our special guest is Julie Kramer, who's answering questions about mental health, healing, and finding your happiness and learning how to deal with your emotions and your sadness and your guilt and your anger. And this is definitely a topic that everyone needs to share with those that are going through. And share anyway with those that you think that are not going through. You can always reach us at 301-683-8690, and we're going to post Julie's information up on the Talk Blog website along with all of our social media so you can get in contact with her. Julie, can you give them your contact information?
Yes, it's Julie, J-U-L-I-E, at roadspring.com. That's roadspring.com.
Awesome. And we want to thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are on the Talk Blog, for all our social media, that's how you get in contact with her. It is now time for a commercial, and that went by so quickly. But when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation about the church. I think it's important that we talk about the cornerstone of the community. And right now, what we want to do is tell you that we have virtual wellness classes on Saturdays between 11:30 and 12 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time, dealing with diabetes, hypertension, obesity, stress, garden growing, and food labeling, and food deserts. And we discuss how we're going to fix those things. It is actually a class to help you lower your A1Cs, to help you manage your weight, to help you get your hypertension under control. It is not a you know you're fat. I mean, people who are overweight, hello, we know we're fat. People who have diabetes know they have diabetes. People who have heart issues know they have heart issues. We're not here to yell at you, fuss at you. We're here to educate, empower, and inspire. So if you take our classes, we will assist you along the journey of trying to, again, lose the weight, manage your A1Cs, and get your life together. So we're excited about that. If you want to be a part of that community and you want to be a part of the virtual class, please reach out to us. Again, 301-683-8690, or always on Facebook or any of our social media. Please share this. This is some great information for everyone in the community, whether you think you're going through or not. This is Women's Health Month. Power to the women and all of those who support us in our walk of trying to get this world, our community, together, because we are the backbones of the community. We know that women carry a lot of weight on our shoulders, and for a lot of us, we're the head of households. So all of you women, don't give up. Continue to love, continue to inspire, continue to create, and continue to be in the best that you can be. So those are my shout-outs for today. This is IITG Season Sister Speak. I'm your host, Victoria Russell Walton. Warren Green is not here with us today. Again, praying for him and his family, traveling mercies to the Green family. And we are here with Julie Kramer, and we were just discussing the church being the cornerstone of the community and how they used to be that place of safe haven. They used to be the place where you went to get your food and you went to get what you needed. I'm sorry, but a lot of times we're calling now for help, and the first reply is, how much have you tithed?
I'm still a fan of the church. I believe the church offers a standard of goodness.
It does. I love my church. I believe in the church. But when a pastor falls, the community falls. And I'm trying to remind all of us that they are human. They have no superpowers. There's not a Superman cape in the closet. They are flesh and blood. God talks to them. God talks to us. So I'm trying to get us to understand, you know, people, I'm not going to church anymore. That pastor did this. The pastor is not the church. We, the people, we're the church. You can have church in your home. That's why you see your mom get excited and catch the Holy Ghost in our house, because it's where you dwell. I'm a huge fan. But I want us to also understand that God is giving people to us like Julie, wrong, I'm putting the wrong way, that assists us in our walk with finding our happy place. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help. Nothing. Okay? So I want us to understand that. Love my church. I believe in God. He's the reason why I'm here, and I'll continue to be here. But I want us to understand to put our priorities where they belong. God first, and then there's man. Man is not a God.
The other thing I wanted to emphasize is the healing power that we have to heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
With the safe, you know, know, with God's help.
That's right.
And I think my complaint against the church is that they threw out the healing part. You know, I believe that healing is the core foundation for the church.
Right.
And that's the main issue I have with the church. But anyway, what I discovered as a chaplain is that it's possible for a group of people to get together and to be healed through prayer and through grieving and through asking and seeking wisdom from the Holy Spirit.
I believe it.
So my method is basically very simple. It's the mind searching for the wisdom while the heart is grieving and welcoming the wisdom. And there's this idea that once you go through a big grief, like let's say a divorce or a death or something, people have this superstitious idea that they have to live with that grief forever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe that. I believe if you use your mind to find the wisdom and you keep your heart open, you can exchange the grief for the wisdom.
I agree.
That's what we can do with God. That's how we can set up a relationship with the sacred that works and is really powerful.
Right. He will give you what you ask for. I believe that God has covered me through so much. He is all I know when it comes to everything. He's just not an ATM, people. He will heal you. He will help you get organized. He will bless you with your family. He will send your Boaz to you once you get rid of that bozo. He will bless you with long life, and he will bless you with children. He will give you the desires of your heart. All he asks in return is that you praise him, that you worship him, that you acknowledge him, and you follow the rules. You can't go out and kill somebody and then come back and say, okay, God, look, I need you to fix that situation. If you know you're going out to hurt somebody, he's looking at you like, now, I know the Ten Commandments say thou shalt not kill, you know. So we have to be mindful and we have to be responsible in our walk. But again, I also want, because, and the reason why I'm talking about church so much is because a lot of times we put so much pressure on the ministries and the pastors when they are human too. We have a responsibility to heal ourselves, to take our grief away, to take the walk. God can take that thing away from you, but sometimes he wants us to go through the steps. I have a testimony portfolio that is so thick. I mean, I can testify about a lot in my short 55 years of being on this earth. But we have to, again, remind ourselves, one, we're not superhuman. We're not. Sometimes I put on a cape, but I still can't fly. I will just put on my superhero breast cancer cape and put my crown on, but I still can't fly through the air. I still need prayer. I still need support. I still need love. So I just want us to understand being human. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we need help. But, Ms. Kramer, we've got a lot of questions. I'm going to try to get to as much as I can. This one says, my son is an angry child, and I believe it's because of divorce. My husband comes around as much as possible, but he's angry. I want to put boxing gloves on him. Is that the right thing and just let him go for it?
Oh, boy. Well, you might. I think you could do multiple things. I don't think it's like one solution.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do several things. One is you could channel that anger into boxing or Tai Chi or one of those martial art things.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be very good. But in addition, I think somehow, if you could get your son to be in an environment where people were open-hearted, like maybe a reconciliation group or some kind of little group of people, like maybe kids, just other kids that were sharing their feelings.
Okay, that's good.
There's a group called Nonviolent Communication, NVC. I would highly recommend that. And if he could learn to say what he needs and how he feels, that would be an enormous step and an enormous gift for him.
Mm-hmm. And I would beg to ask this question. Are you telling him not to cry and to man up?
No. No, let's not do that.
No. And I'm wondering if that's what she's telling him. Stop crying. Man up. If you're telling him that, and you're not giving him an option to get it out, he probably has shut down, because how is he going to get it out?
Well, the other thing is he probably has unmet needs that he's angry about.
Yeah.
Like, he may need advice.
Yeah.
He may need mentoring. He may need companionship.
Right.
And if he could learn to say, well, Mom, I'm really angry because I don't have anyone to mentor me.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, I'm angry because I don't have a companion. I'm angry because I don't have a father to go and play baseball with.
Yeah.
He has to learn to articulate that, and that will be healing. That's what he could learn in NVC, Nonviolent Communication.
I like that. We have to put that up there. I like that. That is awesome. So, great one, Mom. And remember, let him cry if he needs to cry. And give him a pillow and let him put his face in the pillow if he needs to cry. So just give him time to deal with it. And speaking of dealing with it, this is the next great subject to go into. It says, when dealing with death and dealing with so much death, I'm sad all the time. How can I turn it off? I don't know how to turn my sadness off.
Well, what I suggest is that you spend 5 minutes a day feeling sad, and then you get up and you go for a walk, and you say, okay, that's enough for today.
Mm-hmm.
If you give yourself 5 minutes a day. I had a client recently who broke up with his life partner, and I told him that. I said, look, if you don't spend time every day grieving, you're going to be in bad shape in 6 months. And I think that's it. The way to do it is go to nature, go to a park where there's no people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just sit on a park bench and take a notebook or something and write down your feelings. Just write out, you know, this is actually what I do now. When I'm really upset, I'll get my notebook out and I'll say, I'm mad about this and I'm angry about this. And then at the end, I just sit there and try to feel the feelings. And then when you're done with that, you can get up and go have coffee and you let it go.
Get back to life, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up journaling, because that's one of the questions. And it states, I want to start journaling, and should I have my family journal with me, or should that just be something I do myself?
I think I would just do it yourself, because
okay.
You can't impose that on people.
Okay.
People have an interest in journaling at different stages of life,
mm-hmm.
and they may not be at the stage that they would go inward. But another way, you know, I've journaled for off and on for years, but many years I forget to journal. The way I get back into it is I just do one sentence a day.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, and it could be one sentence every 3 days. So it's like getting back into exercise. I'm trying to get back into exercise now.
I think we all are. Yeah, I think we are all going to be kind of roly-polies when we get back out in the atmosphere.
Bad.
I like that. One sentence a day, one step a day. I like that. That is how you start. Another question. I want to start a conversation with an outed family member how can I contact them on a positive note?
Well, I would start the what I say is lead by giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to, instead of lead with questions, don't lead with questions. You lead with giving. So whatever it is that they value, you want to start a conversation about that. And, you know, it might be that they value music or they value sports or whatever it is. You just try to find something, like maybe a little...
We lost her. We were on a roll. Let's find out what just happened and pull her back in. I'm pretty sure she's still there because that was a good question. So we're dealing with stress. So here we go. IITG Season Sisters Speak, and we have our guest, Julie Kramer. Let's get her back on. Hold on a second. Hi, yeah. I guess the atmosphere wanted to set us down for a second, but we're back. So we were discussing. Please continue.
Okay. I would lead by giving, and the way to give is just think of something they value, like maybe it's music. Send them a video or an iTunes copy of their favorite music, and start slowly. I always say lead by giving, and then don't go right into the topic. Just try, you have to build a relationship before you talk about something that big.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you have rapport. And you might want to do this every day for 2 weeks, you know. Go back and forth, like, oh, did you try this chocolate cake?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about the latest music? And how are the, you know, just ask them what's happening with them. And gradually, after you've got a good rapport going, then you could say something supportive, like, I support your decision to make this choice in life. I just wanted you to know that.
Okay.
And don't ask any questions. Just say, I support you.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And baking. So another good question is baking a great way of release for the family?
Well, I think anything creative is a good release. And if baking is a creative activity, then yes. I think anything that will help you refocus and get grounded is helpful.
I like that. Yes, it is. So the next one is a mother-child question. I cannot get along with my two oldest sons. I was on drugs back then, and I caused them a lot of pain. They say they forgive me, and then they don't, and then they forgive me, and then they don't. Please help.
Oh, boy. Well, that's a kind of a two-way problem.
Yeah.
But what I found out, I was really mad at my dad for years, many, many, like 15 years, actually probably 30. And finally, somebody said, you need to forgive your dad. So I actually did. I still wasn't talking to him, but I did this whole forgiveness thing. And, you know, out of the blue, he reached out. He sent me a book, and he said, let's get together. I think that when you forgive someone, that it changes the karma and it changes the spiritual energy.
Mm-hmm.
And their spirit will get it, and I think something will happen. So for this woman, even though she thinks they should forgive her, I think she should forgive them. And so my recommendation is that daily she does a journal. Just, in fact, If she emails me, I'll send her my free forgiveness PDF.
Okay.
And there's a prayer at the end, which she could say every day. But basically, I think if she just every day writes down, I forgive my children for being angry.
Okay.
And after a while, it will take effect.
Okay. That's good. Okay. I like that. And we'll also, again, list all of Julie's information. You're on IITG Seasoned Sister Speak with your host, Victoria and Russell Walton. We're missing our co-host, Warren Green, and we're talking about mental health, forgiving, loving, releasing the guilt, and trying to find your happy place. I like this question because a lot of people have asked this question in different ways, but it's the same thing. And it says, can't I forgive and move on without having a relationship with the family members?
You can forgive and move on without. I had to do that. That's exactly my story.
It is.
I did the moving on part without the forgiving part.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. You can't just move on without forgiving because
it still eats at you.
It's still in you. So, but you can. What you have to do. You have to do the forgiving part, and you don't do it for them, you do it for you.
Wow.
It's all for you.
It is.
And the real, my free PDF, which I'll send you, and you can send it to people.
Okay.
I'll send it to you, and you, if people ask you for it, you can send it to them. But it goes through all the complaints that we have, that our mind has. Well, why should I forgive? It's too much work. It's too painful. It doesn't work. I don't want to do it. And all this stuff. And then I have, like, this argument going on.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's good.
And it's pretty good. I mean, it's very fun. It's got a lot of beautiful pictures.
Great. We will definitely send it out and make sure those that are in need of it receive it. Even if you don't think you need it, I think everybody should read this just to learn how to release. But this is this question. So it's they're guilty. Julie and Vicky, I know that a family member is actually not my niece but my sister. She doesn't know. Should I tell her because it's eating me up, or do I let that go to the grave? Ooh.
I actually don't know the answer to this.
I think that, you know, my grandmother used to say there are some things that will take you to your grave and there are some things you take to your grave. And if your mother didn't tell her who she was, I say no.
Yeah, because often they kill the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. And
they do. And once you do that, everything changes. Are you prepared for that? That's a life-changing family situation because now she's your sister, right? So who's her dad?
Well, you know, a clever way to get this out in the open would be to invite her to do Ancestry.
Oh.
In other words, you know, those online.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
You know, and then she would discover it herself.
Very good, Julie. Very good. Okay, did you get that? So you keep your mouth shut. You pull down Ancestry and say, hey, girl, why don't we do this? Let's find out, you know, who great-great-great-grandmama was. And she's right when the test results come back. And it's like, oh, my goodness, did you know? Girl, what? I had no idea. Who, me? So that, and then you keep the family intact, and the bee's nest is not on you. So, Julie, I like that. I cannot believe it's almost been an hour, and we've been talking about dealing with grief, dealing with sadness. I do want to touch on one thing, and, Julie, that is I want you to give them something for suicide. That was one of the reasons why I really wanted you on, and one of the reasons why I switched it from business to mental health. The suicide numbers in the United States are, I mean, just, we're not talking about it. The numbers are high. So give the people something that they need, along with the PDF we're going to send out, that can assist them with suicide and suicide thoughts and dark thinking.
Well, I'll give you a confession. I tried to commit suicide when I was 27,
mm-hmm.
and I was very intent on dying. I took a lot of Valium and alcohol, and I had a near-death experience. I almost died.
Wow.
It's very hard for somebody who's suicidal to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. They kind of plunge into the deep darkness. And, I mean, I could say things like, well, reach out and talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you would do that. That's the problem. I invite you to call me. I'm always available. I think that this would be a much longer conversation. In fact, we could do another show on this whole topic even. I would have to think it through and think about it more carefully. But the main thing would be, if you're suicidal, I think one thing that helps is just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait. And, you know, get away. Here's my advice from a person who's been there. I would say get away from the people that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Get away, because it's usually because of somebody you're with.
Yeah.
And
yes,
that was the case with me.
Mm-hmm.
There was somebody in my family who was toxic and blaming me. And this person was psychotic. And they were putting everything on me, and I took it all in.
Mm.
And so my advice would be, get away from whoever you're with. And, you know, move like 500 miles away for a week.
500.
Go to a hotel.
Yeah.
Do not talk to that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be my number one advice.
Yeah. I like that. And I tell people all the time, there is nothing wrong with you blocking someone that is giving you bad energy, that's taking you out of your happy place, that whispers to you all the things you've done wrong in your life. You know, I know someone who's a successful lawyer, and she's beautiful, and she has everything a person would think that they would want, the cat, the dog, the fish, the husband, the fence, the house, the car, and her soul is so broken. I mean, behind closed doors, she's broken, and she tells me all the time, I just want to check out of here. It's like, you're the most successful, your husband, your kids, you look at them and you would never know. That's what I tell people, be careful what you leave a person with. Those could be the last person, the last words they hear. And maybe they just need to hear, listen, you're going to be okay. You're going to be just fine. I don't know if you're going through anything today. I love you. I do sister texts all the time. I call my sisters all the time. Hey, checking up on you. You good? Open up the blinds. Open up the curtains. It's a beautiful sun, shiny day. And even if it's raining, it gives the flowers what they need. You got to find the goodness in everything. And just like Chantel is on here now, people have forgiven, but they're still damaged. And dealing with that damaged soul is sometimes the hardest thing. You know, you can break a heart in so many pieces. You can glue it back together, but it's like broken glass. You'll never find all the pieces. There's still pieces on the floor. So, and having people lean on you too much, they can take so much out of you that you don't have anything left for yourself. It's okay to leave some for yourself. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to yell. It's okay to scream. It's okay to throw stuff. But in the words of my mother Daisy Mae, you got 5 minutes to do it. And after your 5 minutes is up, you better get up. You better get up. You better shake it off. You better get on with your day. Because guess what? Tomorrow, it's going to be another fight. And after that, it's going to be another fight. The blessing is we're up and we're able to fight. Listen, God gives us new joy, new grace, new mercy every morning. Every morning it's to you. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to pay for it other than, you know, he wants you to love him and respect him and confess he's your Lord and Savior. But, I mean, you don't have to get your ATM out to swipe for it. It is yours. And if you don't want it, please send it my way because I can use it. I'll take it. I can use all the grace I can get. But I say that to say happiness is yours. It is yours for the taking. It's yours for the asking. Okay? And it's okay to be not okay. But when you figure out you're not okay, then you got to figure out what your plan is. I need you to pray. And if God lays it on your heart to reach out to somebody, there is nothing wrong with you talking to somebody. Writing it on a sheet of paper, burning it, and burying it in the backyard, that doesn't always work. Talking to Facebook and telling Facebook why you're mad, the sign says, I must tell Jesus. Look it up. Some things you got to hold on to yourself and get help one-on-one. You don't need to tell everybody your business because then they in turn turn it and use it against you sometimes. We've all been there. So, I can't believe it. All right, 2 hours. It's an hour. We need 2 or 3 hours for this conversation. But what I'm glad that we were able, we have all of these people chiming in. I know I can't take your calls right now. Type it in, and I'll send them over to her. But I appreciate everybody listening. Miss Julie Kramer, give them your information again on how they can reach out to you. And then I want you to leave them with any tidbit you want to leave them with. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, you can reach me at julie@roadspring.com. And I just want to say, Victoria Ann, that I love your program.
Thank you. I love
what you're doing, and I love you.
Oh, thank you. Let's love back.
And, you know, I think the main thing I want to say is that the body is and the spirit are self-healing. That's what I've learned. If we are not interfered with, if we don't have some toxic person putting stuff into our psyche, we will be fruitful and heal. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage everyone to give themselves space to heal and to give their hearts and their souls space to be heard.
Yeah.
That would be my main recommendation.
I like that. I do. Allow yourself to be heard and allow yourself to cry and allow yourself emotions. And let's teach our young boys and young girls that it's okay to cry, that it's okay to be unsure, and that it's okay to be angry. But now we've got to teach you to challenge it because angry children grow up to be angry adults. They do. Confused children grow up to be confused adults.
Wow.
Children with anxiety grow up to be adults with anxiety. So let's channel that and let's teach them now how to deal with it. Whether it's going for a walk, like she said, in a park and getting it out of your system, crying in the pillow, bouncing the ball outside, martial arts. I love that. Get the kids in martial arts because they are great. Glenn Smith, my cousin, Glenn Spence, he has a martial arts class in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where they're teaching children martial arts. But there's also a discipline to that. We want to thank you, Julie Kramer, for coming on and giving us these tidbits that we can use in our everyday life and learning how to get back to our happy place, as we call it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. This hour went by. I can't believe it's an hour, but I am Victoria Norsa-Walsing, and this is IITG Season Sister Speaks. We want to thank everyone for tuning in on all of our social media. Please share this if you know someone that is in need of help. Having some issues, mental issues, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem with it is when you don't get the help you need. That's the problem. because we all are having anxiety being locked in the house. And when we get back out, we want to make sure that we're the best us that we can be. And we do that by getting the help that we need. So you can always reach out to us, 301-683-8690. Or on Facebook, you can definitely inbox us when dealing with grief, mental illness, or whatever you want to call it, finding your happy place. We want to make sure you have what you need so you can be the best you, again, that you can be, for not just you but for your family. So you've listened to us for an hour. I hope you've learned something. I hope you took notes. And we look forward to seeing you next Thursday. If you would love to take our chronic disease classes, virtual classes, we're only doing it online. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. Enjoy this beautiful day in the DMV. It's gorgeous outside. Get the kids, grow, put some flowers, seeds in the dirt. Allow them to watch the seeds grow. Make sure that you're outside just getting in that fresh air in your lungs. And if they're telling you to wear a mask, wear a mask. If they're telling you don't, that's on you. But be safe, be nice. Love each other, and remember, it takes a village to take care of a village. So let's start taking care of ourselves. Julie, thank you again. I appreciate you. Everyone.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Everyone be blessed, and until next Thursday, we'll see you then. Bye, Julie. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Awesome show.